CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police say the suspect in the Boulder firebomb attack that left a dozen people wounded has spent a year planning it and learned how to make the devices and carry out the action on YouTube. Mohammed Solomon had moved to Colorado 3 years ago, and the Department of Homeland Security says he was in the country illegally, having overstayed his visa. Dozens of Palestinians killed near a food aid center in Gaza. ABC's Guy Davies has more.
Another mass casualty event has been reported after another shooting near an aid distribution center in southern Gaza. The Hamas-run health ministry says at least 27 people were killed and dozens more injured. The director of Nasser Hospital is saying they're struggling to cope with the influx of casualties. This morning, the IDF said they fired shots towards suspects in the area who had deviated from an established route, but they're reviewing the incident. Guy Davies, ABC News in Tel Aviv.
Ukraine's drone attack on Russian warplanes is being seen as a serious blow to the Kremlin's strategic arsenal. Ceasefire talks in Turkey stalled. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding residents to avoid dangerous driving behaviors and prioritize safety on the roads with reckless driving as June's Law of the Month. According to a press release, there were over 5,600 reckless driving crashes in the state last year, which resulted in nearly 140 deaths and over 3,000 injuries. The State Patrol is reminding residents that every reckless driving crash is preventable. Reckless drivers could face fines of up to $400 or even jail time if a crash results in serious injury. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is calling for the state to lift its vaccine requirements for kids attending school or child care programs. During an event in Milwaukee last week, Senator Johnson said he believed some childhood illnesses like measles had been eradicated through better hygiene and sanitation, not just the vaccines. The comments also come as measles outbreaks pop up across the country, with over 1,000 confirmed cases in 31 states. Kids are required to receive the vaccine under state law to attend school or child care programs. Superior Mayor Jim Payne delivered his State of the City address on Thursday, highlighting significant transportation investments and preparations for the challenges the city will face during the Blatnik Bridge reconstruction project. During his speech, Mayor Payne noted that the city should look for ways to increase economic opportunities during the closure rather than just trying to survive until the bridge reopens. He also announced the return of controlled burning practices to help reduce the risk of extreme wildfires during the hot, dry summer months. A Rice Lake man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison following his 17th operating while intoxicated offense. According to court documents, law enforcement authorities responded to reports of a pickup truck swerving across the road and nearly hitting other vehicles in September. After identifying 72-year-old Mark Johnson as the owner of the truck, officers went to his residence and conducted a preliminary breath test, which showed his blood alcohol content to be nearly double the legal limit. Johnson also had a BAC restriction of .02 based on his prior convictions. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers OTAs continue here at Lambeau Field. Anthony Belton is the Packers' second-round pick out of NC State, competing for a spot on the offensive line. I asked him if he's been more nervous or excited to be in the NFL.
It's a little bit of both, because, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you're in a new environment around people you're not really too familiar with, but also it's like you're excited because this is what you've been wanting to do since you was a kid, a lifelong dream. You get a chance to keep playing the game you've been loving since a kid. It's like, it's a blessing. But you're going to be nervous at first a little bit.
Baseball, the Brewers and Reds series continues tonight in Cincinnati. Milwaukee winning 3-2 last night, thanks to another home run by Christian Yelich, named National League Player of the Week. Yelich, hit by a pitch Sunday, still managed to hit his sixth home run in the past 10 games.
He crushed two balls tonight that, you know, sore hand or not, he's living up to his Player of the Week, you know, outstanding.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. There could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high in the low to mid 60s today. Tonight will drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire. Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media radio network or on the app, watching us on social media or catching us by podcast on Spotify or elsewhere. Thank you for getting your day started right here. I've got a question for you. And I may have asked this one on air before, but does anyone else have control over Derek Van Orden's social media password besides Derek Van Orden? It's not so much that he's insulting me again in the comment sections. I'm a big boy. It's no big deal to me. But the notion that a member of Congress can spend so much time online just hurling insults, gaslighting his constituents, even trying to dox some of them occasionally, seems to indicate he either doesn't have much to do or just won't do any actual work. I mean, besides taking issue with something that I said on this program yesterday, yesterday was especially noteworthy for his latest of the many attempts he's made to either dox or at least facilitate the effort to bully someone, have them harassed or fired from work. And I will have much more to say about that about an hour from now. Also coming up on the program, we're going to talk to Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer about the ongoing efforts by the Trump administration to deport pretty much anyone that they want to take away, even if they are law-abiding and doing good works in our communities. Chad Holmes will talk to us about stories he's covering for Civic Media in the Wausau area. The Milwaukee Brewers are now on an 8-game winning streak. We will talk to community editor Christina Laurie about the team's upswing, as well as her new monthly newsletter about Wisconsin sports. Up North News social media manager Sharita Booker will tell us about some of this weekend's big upcoming events all around the state. And we've got a chance for you to win some prizes as part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. That, too, is coming up about an hour from now. Along the way, feel free to join the program in many different ways. And unlike the congressman, all you got to do is be nice in the comment section or on the phone or by text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use that Civic Media app to call us or text us or send us a voice note. And by the way, you don't have to be totally nice on this. Where disagreements are allowed, debate is encouraged. Just don't be a jerk. You can also come into the Facebook or YouTube pages of Up North News or Civic Media and put a question in there or some feedback, and we might just pop it up on screen. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And remember, if you're listening by podcast or if you're interested in podcasting, you can head over to civicmedia.us. You can always see the shows that you might have missed hour by hour. You can listen that way or subscribe to us as a podcast. Those of us with iPhones often use Apple. A lot of other folks use Spotify. We'd love to have you as a subscriber that way. Brittany Merlot will be here in about an hour and tell us about how a cold front is dragging across the state today, sparking up some showers and storms that may turn strong to severe later today. And she says once this all passes, comfortable and warm conditions will follow. Here's your state forecast for today. Cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Folks in southeast Wisconsin may not see this activity until this evening. And that's reflected in the high temperatures for today. In the northwestern part of the state, temperatures are going to fall throughout the day to the mid-50s. It's 67 right now here in Chippewa Falls. Southeast Wisconsin is going to get into the upper 80s. And there will be a southwest wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour until that front comes through. Tonight, rain will make its way out of the state, lows in the low 50s, and of course, now that northwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Additionally, while much of western Wisconsin is under an air quality alert for all that Canadian wildfire smoke, don't be surprised if that area actually expands. And that might sound counterintuitive with the rain, but the same front that is bringing us the rain also has the smoke traveling along with it. So, again, if you have any kind of respiratory issues or know somebody that does, it's okay to start running the AC. Keep the windows closed and stay inside as we go along here. All right, again, Sherita Booker coming up less than 15 minutes from now, followed by Christina Laurie. But right now in Madison's Studio A2, we find Parker Olson is already on the job. Resplendent in a UW Whitewater gymnastics t-shirt, yeah, as we continue to, you know, critique the fashions of the many producers and board operators on this show. Greg Bach, known of course for all of his Brewers wear, and clearly Parker is representing the UW Whitewater water guns, or what is the team there?
The Waterfish.
The Waterfish, exactly. Yes. Mr. Olson, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yes. Let's see. We had, speaking of the northern wildfire smoke, Alicia says, yep, we had the Star Wars sunrise today. I don't have that here because it's overcast here, but I've seen the Star Wars sunsets with that wildfire smoke.
I didn't even see a sunrise today because I get here too early, so I don't see the sun.
Well, that is the occupational hazard that you have going on there. Yes, that's true. Let's see. From Roger on Facebook, last Friday evening, the Stevens Point area had a thunderstorm that had a couple of good lightning strikes. One of the casualties was the oak tree on the 5th at Century World. And then he had attached to something from a Wisconsin golf website. So it must have been some kind of a landmark tree that was taken out by the storms and all of that. I have been near a large oak tree that took a direct lightning strike. Is no fun. Do not recommend.
No, that sounds very scary.
I was, how old was I? 13 or 14. I was a paper boy. For people Parker's age and younger, a paper boy delivered these things called newspapers that were, you know, made with paper and delivered the news. And I would, a truck would come by, drop off the bundle of newspapers, in this case, the St. Paul Pioneer Press. I dropped it off on the street corner, and I would go up there and, you know, cut the bundle open and fold up the newspapers, put them in my little bag, and go around my neighborhood and drop those off at 5 a.m. And one day, you could tell storms were coming, and I packed up all the newspapers, and I got inside the first apartment building near the corner, and just as I got inside, this tremendous crack and boom, and the big old oak tree that I was just next to basically exploded right then and there. And yeah, that was stunning. That was, there's no caffeine that replaces that in terms of waking you up in the morning. Again, not the way I would like to see things go, and I'm glad from Roger's post that nobody in the Stevens Point area apparently was hurt by those lightning strikes, but you got to stay indoors during these things. You got to take the threat of lightning seriously. It's out there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You used a really good word about the tree exploded, because that is what this picture looks like at Century World in Stevens Point.
You pulled it up?
Yeah, yes. It is. Okay. Freaky looking, yeah, and it does suck. That is an iconic tree, actually, yeah.
Oh, that is terrible. I mean, for the longest time, UW Eau Claire had a big old tree as its symbol, something that grew on campus, and again, as nature does, you know, one year you know, it finally saw its demise as well. And it's very unfortunate. We had a big elm in our front yard for many years here. It never got hit by lightning, but eventually, you know, time took that away as well. So we just try to appreciate it while we've got it. Roger follows up on Facebook. Now we have to explain rotary phones and 8-track tapes to Parker, LOL. Now Parker is totally up to speed on rotary phones and 8-track tapes because he's gone to museums as a kid. He knows.
I know one of these things. I know the rotary
phones. Wait. What do you mean you know one of those things?
I know rotary phones. That's the, you spin them, right?
You spin them. Yeah, you spin them, right. Yeah. You spin the phone.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. 8-track tapes?
I assume just had 8 tracks on it, and it was a cassette?
Ooh.
Am I close?
You are kind of close, yes. It was larger than a cassette. It was, how do I describe it? It was a big old hunk of plastic, about what, 3 inches by 4 inches, maybe 4.5 inches, and an inch, almost an inch thick. And you would jam this thing into an 8-track player. And it had the same thing as a cassette tape, but its feature, and I'm using air quotes around feature, was that you didn't have to stop the tape. It would just continually go.
Oh.
And having 8 tracks on it, it would just play all the way through. Except that as it moved from channel to channel, you'd hear this ka-thunk, and then the next song would play. So it was imperfect, shall we say. There's a reason you don't have that around.
That's all right.
And I think this, I may as well log out. There will be no more adorable moment today for me than explaining 8-track tapes to somebody that I never thought was going to happen. But that's where we are here. Hey, Roger, in Stevens Point also, thanks for that, Roger. I want to give you props that yesterday, and I did not make time to mention this, but he said Christian Yelich simply has to win Player of the Week honors for the spectacular run that he had last week. And, Roger, you were right. He was indeed named Player of the Week and didn't rest on his laurels. After that, Yelich last night hit his 4th home run in 6 games. The Brewers have extended their winning streak to 8 games now, beating the Cincinnati Reds last night 3-2. Yelich put Milwaukee on top in the 3rd inning after the team fell behind early. It is the Brewers' longest winning streak since running off 9 straight in August of 2023. Aaron Civale picked up his first win of the season. Now, that Brewers Red Series will continue this evening, same time as yesterday, Game 2, pregame starting at 5:35 on several Civic Media stations. Game 3 tomorrow is a matinee affair, with the pregame starting at 11:05 tomorrow morning. And then the Brewers are off Thursday, and they will be home this weekend, starting a weekend series against San Diego, starting, I believe, a 10-game homestand this weekend, if I'm not mistaken here. Cassandra puts it really well on YouTube. Once his bat wakes up, it goes off. Yes. But then there's Tony, who puts up on YouTube as well. Hope his back doesn't get sore hitting all these home runs, as we remind folks that last year, Christian Yelich missed 81 games, half the season, with a sore back.
He did get the back surgery, though, and I think that's helped him a lot.
I think it has too. It was a long recovery, which I take as a good thing. You know, go through all the rehab, do all your exercises, all of that. And clearly it's working well. And when he got hit in the hand by a pitch on Sunday, again, I thought, oh, here we go. How much time is he going to miss? He missed nothing. He was in the lineup yesterday and hit a home run. So there you go. I mean, he's got it back.
He's got it.
Please keep it up, buddy. Please. Please keep it up. That's all we ask for.
Really?
In our weekend newsletter, we have a daily newsletter, of course, and Christina Laurie will be here at 6:35 to talk to us more about that. We have a weekend newsletter as well that I'll tell you about a little bit later in terms of our question of the week. But it deals with some guests that we had last week, a coalition of groups asking Governor Evers to consider vetoing the full budget bill rather than trying to fix it with partial vetoes if it doesn't meet a certain level of standards for taking care of schools and healthcare and things like that. What do you think? partial vetoes or just veto the whole thing? That's our question of the week in our Sunday newsletter. Subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on county supervisors in Shasta County, California, still clinging to debunked 2020 election fraud claims by President Trump and his allies. May 29th, a Colorado man was sentenced to 3 years in prison for threats he made to top Colorado and Arizona election officials, fueled by those same claims. Teek Ty Brockbank of Cortez, Colorado, pleaded guilty in federal district court last fall for threatening to, quote, hang by the neck Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and former Arizona Secretary of State and now Governor Katie Hobbs. He also threatened a judge presiding in a separate DUI case and threatened to shoot federal agents if they stepped on his property. Brockbank asked for leniency during the sentencing, blaming consumption of alcohol and online conspiracy theories for his actions, according to the Associated Press. The Brennan Center for Justice found in a 2024 survey that 38% of election officials have been subjected to threats. A Princeton University Bridging Divides tracker found 90 threats to election workers last year alone. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice Division, which prosecuted Brockbank, the Public Integrity Division, has largely been dismantled under Trump's Ending the Weaponization of the Federal Government executive order. The division has been reduced from 30 lawyers to only 5 under Attorney General Pam Bondi. We have the DOJ's details of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. Let's talk to Sharita Booker, our social media manager, who does all the posting of all the things that we do here. Sharita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And so sometimes it's news stories, you know, where we're looking backward. Sometimes it's letting people know about things that are coming up. So let's get it going with June Dairy Month, because that's where you find, only in Wisconsin, something called the Great Wisconsin Cheese Festival. Tell us more.
That festival is happening June 6th through the 8th at Doyle Park in Little Chute. And this annual event offers a weekend packed with family-friendly fun, live music, food, and of course, plenty of cheese. There will be a cheddar chase fun run, a big cheese parade, a cheese curd eating contest, free cheese samples, cheese carving demonstrations, gourmet mac and cheese samples, and family-friendly entertainment and a petting zoo. And the prices for those tickets are $5 for adults and $3 for kids ages 13 and under.
I like hearing this when you hear Cheese Fest. You know, we have covered cheese competitions and cheese tastings and all that. Nothing wrong with that, but this is a little different. You're planning a whole big public event, so all kinds of other things, but around cheese. Doesn't get much more America's Dairyland than that.
Definitely. Just like a Wisconsinite, we do things like that pretty often.
We do. It's June Dairy Month. It is also Pride Month. There are plenty of events to go around with celebrating our LGBTQ community, and that would include Pride Fest Milwaukee, which is also coming up.
And it's also Wisconsin's largest LGBTQ plus celebration, and that's starting on Thursday, June 5th through Saturday, June 7th at the iconic Henry Meyer Festival Park. And the festival will include a RuPaul's Drag Race showcase, food vendors, of course, marketplace stalls, carnival rides, a tattoo parlor, along with performances by Jordan Sparks, DJ Femme Noir, Chris Houseman, and more. In addition to all the fun, there will also be a health and wellness area connecting attendees with vital LGBTQ plus resources and services. And the single day admission prices for that is $20 on Thursday and $30 on Friday and Saturday.
And there is a website at pridefest.com that has, I mean, it is just loaded with information about getting there, getting to the celebration, you know, where to get tickets, what the events all are, everything. So it is most certainly worth checking out. And it's funny that we've got these things happening, you know, around June 5th, 6th, you know, 7th, 8th, coming up June 8th. That'd be 6:08. I seem to recall that in Milwaukee, they do a 414 day on April 14th, celebrating, you know, the area code region there. And June 8th tells me there's got to be stuff happening for 608 day.
Yep. So you can celebrate 608 day at various locations around Madison and Dane County on Sunday, June 8th. And if you don't happen to know what 608 day is, it's a day dedicated to celebrating the vibrant culture, community, and businesses of the 608 area code. And here are just some of the things happening that day. Hilldale Shopping Center will have fun day full of live music, family fun, and deals from your favorite shops. From 10 a.m. to noon, local singers will perform in the 608 Cabaret Series to raise money for local nonprofits. Free cotton candy will be at Lily's Magical Treats from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then there will be Pride Family Portraits from 2 to 4 p.m. And there's also exclusive one-day deals with $6.08 food and drink specials at Forge Kitchen, Fresh Finn, and Cafe Hollander, and more places throughout the Madison and Dane County area.
So here's the thing. This pretty much started with 414 in April, and I'm glad that the 608 has jumped in here as well. A few folks have been trying to make 715 day happen on July 15th. Now, the 715, you know, is a big area code back when it was first formed. But some folks are setting things up there. 920 hasn't been around as often. And I honestly don't know if 920 day, September 20th, is a thing in Northeast Wisconsin. Folks could maybe try to make it happen. At least they can. Because, you know, there's all these new area codes over time, like, you know, over in the Twin Cities, if you got 651, there ain't no June 51st or 952, no September 52nd. So why not have a little fun with this, right?
Yeah, I feel like you can take like a handful of businesses and get it started, and maybe people will add on from there on, and like every year can get bigger and bigger, just offer you little specials. And I think it can start somewhere. So don't be afraid.
Absolutely. No, don't. It's all about, look at everything we've got there. We've got a regional pride. We've got personal pride for the LGBTQ community. We've got pride in America's Dairyland. So puff up your chest for whatever you're in favor of and head to one of these events or others that Sherita's going to put up. Just check out our social media sites. Search for Up North News WI on most of those platforms and learn more. Sherita, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Let's tell you about a story now up in the Ashland area where a popular librarian for the Bad River Public Tribal Library, laid off by the Trump administration in April, is back at work. This story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Again, it was part of the Trump budget cuts from a March 14th executive order to eliminate non-statutorily required activities and functions. Jennifer Mavidi was hired as library coordinator for the Bad River in December of 2022 to help the tribe reopen a library that had been closed since 2016. She helped redesign and rebuild a new space, completing the project in half the time that had been expected. She was a welcoming presence, and her termination set off a firestorm of social media posts and comments criticizing the president's agenda. A federal court in May provided an injunction on those layoffs, and Mavidi returned to work on May 27th. Providing a much-needed community resource, the Bad River Public Tribal Library contains more than 5,000 books, helps a lot of children as well, also has several banned books. Thanks to Trump and people who don't want to feel white guilt, there are these book bans on indigenous books that talk about the atrocities committed against indigenous folks by European settlers back in the day. Yes, that's what we're banning books on these days. But books like that can continue to be found at tribal libraries in Bad River and all across the country. And we are especially thankful for the folks who work these libraries, like Jennifer Mavidi, who's back on the job, at least for now. Christina Laurie is coming up next. Hans Breitenmoser, Sheila Everhart, Dan Schaefer, all on the way after the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Now that we're in the month of June, dairy producers in Wisconsin have to remember your milk check formula is changing. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Yeah, here we are, third day of June. Already the markets have gone away from including barrel cheese prices in any of their market developments. Ryan Yonkman, vice president of EverAg in Chicago, explains what these federal milk order changes could do to your milk check.
The basic breakdown is starting June, there's really two big changes that matter for us. Class one is moving back to the higher of, so whichever's higher, three or four, is what we'll get paid off of. But two, they increase the make allowance, and that'll probably be the biggest, most obvious change. The make allowance for classroom four went up about 85 to 90 cents a hundredweight. The key here for the listeners is that is already priced into the marketplace. So when you look at July class three trading at almost $20, there's not another 85 cents coming out of that. The market has already readjusted. It knows the math. The prices we see are the prices we will get.
Ryan Yonkman, Vice President EverAg out of Chicago. Now, yesterday in the dairy complex, barrel cheese again removed from reporting. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents, 195.5, while AA butter gained 3.5 at 251 a pound. The rest of your morning market's on the way next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
At Second Harvest Food Bank, we know that nutritious milk is essential for growing kids and healthy families. That's why for a decade, we've partnered with Wisconsin's dairy farmers through the Adopt a Dairy Cow program. Thanks to farm families, thousands of gallons of milk have reached local families facing hunger. Visit givedairy.com during June Dairy Month. That's givedairy.com.
Dow Jones Industrial Average struggling again this morning. While our July corn's down 3, December new crop down a penny at 4.35. July soybeans are up a penny. November new crop down a penny at 10.16. July wheat right now down 4 at 5.35. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese closed 13 cents stronger, 19.67 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand so far on a Tuesday morning. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. There could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high in the low to mid 60s today. Tonight will drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-To for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The aforementioned Pat Kreitlow will be here, and board games are good for you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Again, if you were just listening to the latest update from the Midwest Farm Report, you should know that they are on for a full hour, weekday morning, starting at 5 on several Civic Media stations. Hayward, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, I think, all carry the 5 a.m. full Midwest Farm Report. However, Civic Media, to learn more, and then you can listen, if it's not on your local station, through the Civic Media app, right ahead of us, right here every weekday morning at 6 a.m. We're joined now by Christina Laurie, who works on our weekday newsletter and also has a new monthly sports newsletter with some good stories related to Wisconsin sports. No stories better than the one about the current baseball team and its 8-game winning streak. Christina Laurie, good morning. How are you? Oh, hang on a minute, Christina. I hit the wrong button there. There we go. You with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I hear you just great. How are you?
I'm great, and it is an especially good week to join you because you mentioned it's a monthly newsletter. Actually, starting this weekend, it's the very first weekend, we're going to be a weekly sports newsletter.
What?
Breaking
news here, kids.
Well, it couldn't have come at a better time because we certainly have a lot of, you know, my focus is always on good news, and what better news to discuss this morning than the Brewers that 8-game winning streak. And it's not like we're finally seeing the team that we loved last season. It felt like they were kind of missing for the first 2 months of the year. But it's so exciting to see them going again. And, you know, it's not like they swept the Rockies over the weekend, okay? They swept the team with the best record in baseball, the Phillies.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I warned everybody on Thursday. I was like, well, don't get your hopes up for the weekend. They go and sweep, including a real statement victory on Saturday. So then when they fell behind 2-0 last night, I thought, well, okay, you know, they're going to come back down to earth. That's okay. You know, next thing I know, I'm looking over at the TV, and we've tied it up at 2, and then Yelich steps up, and I'm like, okay, this train is still running. I like this.
Yeah, and I know because I texted you when we were discussing what topics to discuss this morning. I was like, well, the Brewers can be a subject, win or lose. You know, I was already had it in my mind that they were going to lose. I was like, no way they're going to get to 8. You know, that would be too perfect.
Right.
But here we are. And of all people to crush that 417-foot homer last night, have it be the reigning NL player of the week. I mean,
exactly. He's
finally coming into his own. I had a funny comment. So I post a lot about the Brewers on my Facebook page.
Yes.
It's just my name, Christina Laurie, if anyone wants to check it out. But one of my followers posted a really smart comment. He was saying he was Yelich kind of took the Euchre track this season. He, you know, stuck to batting around 200 for the beginning. And, you know, he didn't, because Euchre has that famous quote that he said on the Tonight Show one time where he said, you don't want to bat 300 right off the bat because then you have nothing to look forward to. He said he tries to stick to 200 all season and you get at least 5 RBIs in September. Then you have a good winter. So Yelich is already ahead of schedule, but I thought that was a funny tie to Euchre.
And I got to say, and like Euchre, is very good in the booth. You know, very well spoken when
yes.
he was out with injuries last season and spent some time in the booth. And we all thought, maybe this is it. Maybe his back will be an issue. And at least if he moves to the booth, he'll be a good presence there. And yet the back surgery took and, you know, he's back in, no pun intended, and hopefully stays that way.
And I forgot just how few games he really played last year. So Pat Murphy was making the podcast rounds last week. I don't know. He must have had just some extra free
time. He must have. Yeah, I saw him on one. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was on Digging Deep, which is co-hosted by Moose, who was on the Brewers for 2 years. And then he was also on Thanasis's podcast. But on the podcast that Moose co-hosts, it's called Digging Deep. It's a really good listen if you're interested. They had Willie Adames on a few weeks ago as well. That's a really good episode. But The most recent episode was with Murph. And he was explaining exactly what you're saying about Christian Yelich, is that his greatest value, like, doesn't come based on, like, his on-field performance. He was saying he is just the best leader, and he's not the kind of leader that you would expect because he's a quiet leader. And he had a really good quote that I love so much. I actually wrote it down. I have some quotes I love that I save in the notes section of my phone. He said, "Sometimes leadership is caught, not taught." And I just thought, like, that perfectly epitomizes Yelich. You know, he's not loud. He's just that quiet role model, you know, do the reps, put in the work, stay positive, be a clean guy, and look, it pays off.
Oh, it really does. And I know we've talked about that in this segment before, too, that leadership is not necessarily something that's spoken or yelled or shouted at people, and is sometimes done from the batter's box or the huddle or the locker room or what have you. And that, frankly, was a bit of my concern a couple of weeks back when it seemed like we weren't going to get back to 500. Like I'm saying, we, now that we're on an 8-game winning streak here, we weren't going to get back to 500. And where was the leadership on the team? I seem to recall when they were out in, like, LA and then Arizona or Denver, something like that. And they had, like, this closed door team meeting, and they really didn't get much better after that. And so I will admit to being genuinely concerned that they would have this kind of a leadership drought. And I guess, and Murph has said this as well, they just needed a little bit more time to fire on all cylinders.
Yeah. And that road trip that you're talking about, I think that's the one it started in San Francisco, too, of all places.
Yes, that was it. Yes.
We were reminded of what we're missing with Willie. And then it snowballed from there. It just made it extra difficult. So it's so nice to see them again. And if you do listen to that podcast, you will just have so much more respect. Like, it's no coincidence that Murph was able to turn this team around. When you hear how he speaks, he just seems like a fantastic coach, but more than that, just a fantastic person. Like, the way he talks about his players, he knows.
By the way, though, the way that he talks about the players, if people are going, "Hey, why don't you guys play an excerpt?" We can't. It's not for legal reasons. It's because I heard the part where he's talking to Moustakas, about his start there, and he hit into, like, several ground ball outs for his first few at-bats.
Yes,
and and Murph is talking about it and talking to Craig Counsell in the dugout about it, and it's a great story. We just can't play it on the radio because Murph is a very colorful speaker.
He is, but the last story he tells, we're really hyping up this podcast.
That's okay.
But he does tell a very funny story at the end that was actually a super clean story for Murph. About, he used to be a high A coach in El Paso. And so they would sometimes have, like, players that were, you know, on the Rangers who were, like, in a slump, just go for a few reps with them, kind of like the Brewers do with the Timber Rattlers. And so he had Jeff Francoeur come in one time, and he was already, like, I think he had won a Silver Slugger or Gold Glove or something, like, two seasons before, but he was in a slump. So he goes to Murph's team, and Murph is, like, known for his pranks. So he got the whole team in on it. They told him that one of their pitchers was deaf, and Murph just told him to, like, be sensitive about it. And they carried on this prank for, like, a full month. It was just incredible. And just the story, like, how he tells it is so funny. That is such a team bonding thing to do. So, you know, I almost feel like we kind of, as fans, all thought that Adames was the spark last season, but maybe it was Murph all along.
Oh, I think Murph had a huge role in that. And I mean, Parker, you've been calling baseball games. You've been around the game. You know that the pranks and the giving each other a hard time, keeping people humble, because these are otherwise very talented athletes. And you have to occasionally get knocked down a peg so you don't get your head doesn't swell.
especially in baseball too, because it's 162 games. It is such a long season. It's hard to keep sharp. And I think that's kind of what Murph has just had to do. He's like, hey, I'm just going to punch you in the shoulder here real quick and go get together. Let's keep sharp. Come on.
And yeah. And it's a punch that you're going to feel the punch when he does it.
Yes. He was a boxer, I think.
figuratively, of course, is what we're talking about. And so those stories, like from these podcast appearances and the things that have happened in the past on the field, sounds like the kind of fodder for your checks my notes again, now weekly sports newsletter, right?
Yes. So we're still brainstorming an actual name. I don't know that I'm supposed to like share this information. So we were actually just this morning, brainstorming a few names. So I don't have a title exactly of what to call it for you, but basically the premise is that we're going like beyond the wins and losses, beyond the box score. We're really trying to, you know, tell you the stories that you're not seeing everywhere else, because Pat, you and I both came from local TV. Right. And we see what's happening to our local stations. They're losing a lot of people. And when they make cuts, oftentimes it's to their sports departments first. The station I used to work for a long time, they were down to just a one-man sports department. So, you know, when that's a situation, you're really just covering the wins and losses. You don't get to do the backstory where you find out that this kid grew up, you know, 30 minutes from Lambeau, and they love the Packers their entire life, and then finally they're going to get a chance to try out for the team they loved. Those are the kind of stories that we're telling. One that I actually just wrote this week that I really love, sticking to baseball, is about Sal Frelick. So, like, he's been really energetic on the field this season. He's been doing a great job. He is an even better person off the field. He had one of his best friends visit him at the road game in Philadelphia over the weekend, because he's from the East Coast. He's originally from Boston. And his best friend, like his number one best friend, has special needs. And he befriended him in high school as part of the Best Buddies program. And they're genuinely like tell each other everything brothers. And it just, that shows the kind of person he is. And actually later this week, when they return to Milwaukee, he's hosting a meet and greet at this coffee shop that's not too far from Milwaukee called the Inclusive Bean. And that shop employs all people who are living with special needs or disabilities. So he really just, you can't say enough good things about most of the players on this team, really. That's what makes them so easy to cheer for. And that's not an anomaly. In Wisconsin sports, it just seems like we have just an abundance of really good players and people. So I'm really excited.
By the way, we also have players who end up, you know, excelling on other teams. there's that kid from Oshkosh who's helping lead the Indiana Pacers in the NBA Finals. Even noticing on the Reds roster last night that I didn't realize that their outfielder, Gavin Lux, is a Kenosha native. So, I mean, We have Wisconsin athletes all over the place. We obviously cheer for the ones right here within our borders, but I know you have definitely followed other Wisconsin athletes who, you know, go on and play for other teams or play in other places.
Absolutely. I actually just wrote a quick little blurb up about Frank the Tank Kaminsky, who they just announced last week the UW Hall of Fame class of 2025. He's headlining that class, but he actually had a really good season with the Toronto Raptors G League. Okay. I didn't know he was still playing around the NBA.
No.
And he was kind of back to his, he had a slump for a while. Mm-hmm. I think he had tried like the Europe thing. That wasn't working out great for him. And then he's really popping off in the G League. And also, speaking of Europe and former players that we're following, Nigel Hayes.
Really short. Got to go. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
No,
Nigel
Hayes.
He was MVP of the Euro League Finals and won the championship.
Christina Laurie puts together a new weekly sports newsletter and the daily one as well. Thank you, Christina. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Today's history lesson is coming up next, as we always do mornings, up north here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
School All sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and has and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Oh, you know where we're going here.
I know a place.
And she'll take you there. That's the Staple Singers. I'll take you there. The number one song. On this day, 53 years ago, 1972. Today's history lesson includes on Tuesdays Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV, in beautiful Rhinelander. How's Dan today?
Dan is doing great. Good morning to everyone. A little cloudy out here in Rhinelander, but I think that might be the Canadian wildfire, unfortunately.
It could also be that. Yes, there's so much smoke out there. I'm going to get to, actually, first, I was a little concerned about Alicia, who comments on YouTube. She clearly heard us during the commercial break talking about you had a gathering of people with tornado sirens who have an interest in them.
That's right. Whatever. Well, Rhinelander, yeah, they had Siren Con on Sunday. This is the first time
Siren Con, not Comic Con. Siren Con. Anyway, I was worried about Alicia because at first she put up this comment on YouTube. Take a look on your screen there. Last week, I learned the tornado sirens aren't a... I thought maybe the tornado came and got her at that point, but she clearly hit the button. She came back and said, last week I learned that tornado sirens aren't all tested on the same day and at the same time everywhere. Green Bay is at noon on Wednesdays. I grew up with noon on Saturday. It's always 11 a.m. on the first Tuesday, isn't it?
That's news to me. I remember hearing it at noon and Sunday during the week, but
Okay. Parker, they probably do things different where you are.
I don't remember what it is in Madison. It's either Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm going to find out pretty quick here, I guess.
Oh, no. In Madison, they just, you know, make some kind of a comment about, you know, white guilt, and then a conservative screams.
Then everybody runs.
And the scream is what tips us all off that there's something going on. Yeah. I should probably get back to the history lesson. Let's see. Let's start with singer Susie Quattro is 75 years old today. This is her 1979 hit with Chris Norman. She had more hits in Europe and Australia. She played Leather Tuscadero on Happy Days. On this day in 1889, the first long-distance electric power transmission line in the U.S. was completed, running 14 miles between downtown Portland, Oregon, and a generator in Willamette Falls. On this day in 1967, Aretha Franklin's Respect was the number one song. Let's see. Jill Biden, former First Lady, is 74 years old today. You know who else was born the same day, turned 74 today? That'd be singer Denise Williams. Which, of course, is from Footloose, which leads me now to ask the young men as part of this radio show whether they've seen the original Footloose from 1984. Dan?
I have seen it. It was my high school girlfriend's favorite movie. So I think I've repressed every scene. Something about Kevin Bacon, though.
Yes, it's got Kevin Bacon. Parker?
I have not seen it, no. Sorry to disappoint, Pat.
Wow, that's like me not seeing Gone with the Wind. You know, it's meaning they were out when I was a kid. Now, Denise Williams turned 74 today. It was also on this day, her birthday in 1978, she had the number one song, a duet with Johnny Mathis called Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. Happy birthday, 79th birthday, to singer Eddie Holman. Here's his only hit from 1969. You expecting this nice deep voice from Lou Rawls, maybe? No. Maybe Barry White? No. Here's how Eddie Holman does Lonely Girl.
Hey there, lonely girl.
That was shocking. I did not expect that.
Plenty of other tunes that helped get him into the National Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame. Was married for 56 years until his wife passed away a few months ago. And again, Lonely Girl was his big charted hit. Singer Curtis Mayfield was born this day in 1942, passed away in 1999. Singer Dan Hill of Sometimes When We Touch fame is 71 today. News anchor Anderson Cooper is 58. Tennis star Rafael Nadal is 39 years old today. This is National Egg Day. This is World Bicycle Day. And this is World Cider Day on the National Day Calendar. One more in here. Dan, do you recall hearing about Bill Clinton when he was running for president originally in 1992, playing saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show?
This is a famous thing. Isn't Bill Clinton our first black president or something?
That was the joke that was made at the time. Here's the clip of it from the Arsenio Hall show. For folks that don't recall the Arsenio Hall show, the announcer takes a long time to introduce him. And then once he does, here's Bill Clinton on the sax right after that. So there he is in the sunglasses, and he's playing the sax. And I'm not going to lie, a lot of people looking at the TV right there said, yeah, why even have the election? He's going to win. because you'd had, you know, 8 years of Reagan and 4 years of George H.W. Bush, and this was the first baby boomer president. People said, we need something new, something fresh.
Personality? What?
Personality. Which it turns out he had so much of that he decided to share it with others. But anyway, that's for another time. A little too much personality. We talked last week, quickly, Dan, about the tourists have all come back up north and that there were some serious issues, drownings and car accidents and things like that. But I am quite confident that folks are seeing the lighter and much more fun side of tourism up north these days.
That's right. It's, you know, we didn't have any tourist-related accidents over the weekend, so that's a good trend that we're going to continue. But yeah, the businesses are going to be more full from now until Labor Day, and that's great news. You know, we kind of had another pretty bad snowmobile season up here, so a lot of the bars and restaurants could use some help and we're welcoming the tourists with open arms. It might be harder to get out of the grocery store onto the main road, but that's a sacrifice we're willing to make.
I was going to say, for what it brings in, yeah. Yes, I think that that's good. And everybody, yeah, just stay safe. That's all we ask of you folks is go enjoy life up north and do so safely. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 and Ryan Lander, always great to catch up with you. Thank you, sir.
Of course. See you, Pat. See you, Parker.
We still have Dan Schaefer coming up as well. Let's see, we've got Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart, too, talking about June Dairy Month events, all part of our mornings, powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. For the second time in 3 days, Palestinian health officials and witnesses say Israeli forces fired on people as they headed to an aid distribution site in Gaza. 27 people were killed in the most recent attack. Two people remain in critical condition in Boulder, Colorado after Sunday's firebomb attack. The suspect, a 45-year-old man named Mohammed Solomon, is now facing multiple charges, including attempted murder. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder.
Authorities say the suspect confessed, saying he had been planning this for a year, waiting until after his daughter graduated high school to conduct the attack. Authorities saying the suspect allegedly learned how to make them on YouTube, also finding a backpack weed sprayer filled with gasoline. Officials say he specifically targeted the Zionist group that had gathered in Boulder after learning about the group from an online search.
South Koreans voting in a snap election triggered by the ouster of their former president, Yoon Suk-yeol. This is ABC News.